You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
I'm at peace with my mental illness.
Mental illness saved my life.
My mental illness has helped me learn about myself.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the 2019 kickoff episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca. I'm Toby, and I'll be your host for this January 9th, 2019 episode. Radio Totally Normal Toronto, or RTNT for short, is a voice for community mental health, produced by the members and staff of Progress Place, a mental wellness clubhouse in downtown Toronto. January is National Hot Tea Month, so today we'll hear from a tea enthusiast to learn more about this widely celebrated bevy. Also, in case you missed it, we'll revisit the December Vox Pops we shared on the topic of holidays and mental health. A warm, steaming cup of tea is welcome at any time of day, especially in the cold winter months. Whether as an alternative to coffee in the morning or as a quiet cap to the end of the day, settling your nerves with chamomile and lavender, tea is an amazing drink. And we can have it plain with lemon, sugar, perhaps a bit of honey. We can add milk or cream. However we do it, Hot Tea Month is a great time to re-embrace this delicious beverage that can warm our bodies and hearts. Karina, a staff from Progress Place, was kind enough to share her knowledge about teas for National Hot Tea Month. Eliada from RTNT was conducting the interview. Let's have a listen.
Hi, this is Eliada Arujo from Progress Place with Radio Totally Normal Toronto. Today we have Karina Fung from the cafe unit at Progress Place. Welcome, Karina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. So, in honor of National Tea Month, which is the month of January, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I'm just going to start shooting off with questions, and we're going to ask, where does tea come from?
So historically, tea actually comes from China, or the region of what we know as China right now. And through a lot of different historic events, it sort of moved around the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, when the British started trading with China, one of the things that they really wanted was tea, because when they brought back this delicious tea substance back to their country, their people went wild over it. So a lot of trading actually happened because of the tea. In fact, in China, there's, you know, everyone's heard of the Silk Road, but there's actually called a tea trade road as well.
Very interesting.
They would actually trade tea in China for horses with the Mongolians.
So there really?
In fact, tea was at one point in time in China used as currency, which is why there's these things called like tea bricks. Mm-hmm. It was a better way to sort of make sure that they were all weighted the same. And then when you trade things, you would sort of know what you're getting for it. Mm-hmm. So it played a really, really big part in China. And because of that, the British actually stole some of the tea and brought it to India, because at that time they've colonized India at the time, and so they want to see if they can grow their own tea so they didn't have to keep trading with China, since they were losing out a lot of silver by doing that.
Do you think there was any controversy in the tea bricks? I mean, like, if they're packaging these things, they could have put anything in there,
In fact, a lot of the taxation that comes in China started from tea, because they would have to do quality control of the tea to make sure that it was the real stuff.
All right, well, there you go. Next time you think of falsifying your tea bricks, talk to Karina. All right, moving on to our next question. What are some of the benefits of tea?
Tea leaves itself, there's a lot of different flavonoids and catechins in it. So there's just fancy terms for a bunch of different chemical compounds that come from the tea. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wide range of things that they say tea is good for. Often they'll say there's a lot of antioxidant in it, so make you look younger. There's caffeine in it, which gives you energy. Mm-hmm. There's other properties in it that will actually help quicken your metabolism. In fact, in the Chinese tradition, we often drink tea when we dim sum because there's a lot of greasy food, and the tea is supposed to help with the digestion.
Right. Okay. So would you say that tea is better than coffee?
I'm kind of biased on that, so I would definitely say tea is better than coffee.
All right. Would you say you'd rather have 3 cups of coffee compared to 3 cups of tea, or?
Definitely would prefer to have more tea than coffee, mainly because I'm sure you've heard some people say, oh, there's more caffeine in tea than there is in coffee. So if you take it by pound from tea leaf to bean, yes, it's true. There is actually more caffeine in tea leaves, but because of the way we're brewing tea, you actually end up drinking less caffeine per cup. So I think they say there's about 100 milligrams per instant cup of 8 ounces of coffee, roughly about 55 milligrams of caffeine in a cup of coffee. So that's about half of the caffeine you would get. And they also say because of the way the caffeine is diluted into the water, you actually get less of a spike in your energy. It's a slower progression that keeps you awake. So when you drink coffee, you get that instant caffeine kick, which lasts maybe an hour, and then you have the big drop down, which is never fun. But when you drink tea, it's such a slow progression of you getting the energy that when it slowly tapers back down, you don't feel that spike as much. So I much prefer tea.
Would you say with tea you're getting your money's worth then if it lasts longer?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Is it possible to drink too much tea?
Depends on who you ask. There's a saying where people say you can get drunk off drinking tea. And often that just refers to drinking a lot of tea and not having enough food with it. So again, tea does contain caffeine in it, so that can agitate the stomach a little bit. So it's always good to have a little bit of food when you're drinking tea, but I don't really think you can have too much tea.
What are your favorite teas?
Oh, so many. Right now, I'm superly obsessed with oolong teas, just because there's such an amazing process in making them.
Okay.
And there's such a wide range. You can have what's called greener oolong, so they taste a little bit closer to green teas. You can have it a little bit more oxidized, and then it's closer to a red or black tea. They can be more floral. They can taste more like dried fruits. It's just, it's an amazing tea to be playing around with and trying out.
What does it mean, oxidized?
So oxidizing is a process in making tea. When you have green tea, it actually means it hasn't been oxidized. So think the way I was actually taught it is think about a banana. When you pick a banana and it starts to turn brown, that's when it's becoming oxidized. So the banana becomes naturally sweet. So the different types of tea is actually made from the exact same tea leaf called the Camellia sinensis. And then there's varieties of that. But it's how you process the tea that you get the 6 different varieties of tea. So a green tea is something that is less oxidized. So think about a fresh banana you pick off, super green. It's not quite that sweet, but it's very fresh tasting. Versus a black tea, which would be a tea leaf that they've picked and then they've bruised it or they've processed it in a way which creates it to make it brown, which actually makes it a lot sweeter. So you'll notice a green tea tends to be on a fresher tasting, whereas a black tea is much more mellow.
Okay. Well, so some teas are more stronger or less than others. Would you say that, you know, these tea traditions or like National Tea Month, is this something that's celebrated all around the world or?
I think around the world, like tea is incorporated in a lot of different cultures and it's entrenched in a lot of different traditions. So I think National Tea Month happens nationally tea year for a lot of countries. Chinese people, we have tea with our dim sum. It's a weekly event for us. The Japanese have their chado, which is a Japanese tea ceremony, and it's more of a meditative practice. In fact, people that practice chado sees it more like a lifestyle than it is a meditative practice. It's something that you incorporate in your life. So tea, I think, happens all the time for a lot of people.
So like a way of life.
A way of life, yes.
Okay. That's a good philosophy to live by. How about if you have a cold, flu, or a fever, like it's the winter months right now, people are coming in and out of like buildings, hot and cold, and are just like, why am I getting all this sickness? Please help me. So like let's say you have a fever. Can you recommend a specific type of tea?
So tea, I think, is more of a complement to it. And at this point, I do actually have to distinguish what is tea and what is herbal tea.
Okay.
Because there is a difference. So when you talk about tea in its most traditional sense, mm-hmm. it has to come from the plant Camellia sinensis. And this plant grows in very specific environments, mm-hmm. which is why it's found in China, it's found in India. It can grow up in mountains, and depending on where you grow this plant, it will change its flavor.
Sure.
Which is why, again, we have all these six different types. So the six major types of teas we have is white, yellow, green, oolong, black, and what is called fermented or pu'er teas. And all of these different teas, even though they all taste very different, comes from the exact same plant. Its health benefits, people argue it. Some people, it's like almost trending, like matcha is a type of green tea, and sometimes people say drinking more matcha is better for you because of the antioxidants in it. But to be honest, because it's all coming from the same tea leaf, they all have relatively the same priorities. A little bit, some have a little bit more, some have a little bit less. When it comes to talking about the types of teas that you drink when you have a cold or a fever or a flu, those are actually herbal teas. So that's any other plant or flower or fruit that you would steep in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you're gonna talk about how many types of that, it's a million. It can be essentially anything. And the Chinese and Eastern philosophy actually really believe what you eat is a part of your medication.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I guess if you're looking for a type of tea that would be good to complement and make you feel a little bit better, it might not necessarily cure you of your colds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've discovered that cure yet. Would be something like ginger or peppermint tea, just because mm-hmm. it has soothing aspects of it. Chamomile tea makes you really relaxing, so it might help you sleep. Turmeric is often a very good tea to have to help build your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So you could drink these different types of herbal teas that can help boost your immune system, essentially.
Have you heard of elderberry or yarrow tea?
I have, and I've heard those are very good for you as well.
All right. So if you're drinking lots of tea, you know, it's warm or hot liquid, can it help you lose weight?
It's a bit of a controversial topic. I think there's not enough research done on whether or not it can. A lot of tea drinkers, like very strict tea drinkers, they wouldn't even go towards that. Sometimes people say that it'll help aid with your metabolism, which mm-hmm. is where it's helping you with the losing of the weight. But there really isn't enough solid research out there to say whether or not it helps or doesn't.
Okay, last question. Can tea affect your mental health?
I actually definitely think tea can help with the mental health. I think the act of drinking tea really helps with mental health. People say, what is the proper way of brewing tea? And it can be as simple as throwing a bag into hot water and then you inhaling that aroma and taking those few moments to yourself. Or it could be as complicated as doing a full kung fu style tea ceremony, which is where you actually...
You say kung fu?
That's what they call it. Actually, different parts of China will call it different things, but it is like a Chinese tea ceremony that they have. And what it is you start off by taking a look at the leaves. You're taking time and putting yourself in the moment. It's a type of mindfulness practice. It's a lot more hands-on. So you take the leaves, you appreciate what you have there, you smell it, you touch it, then you put it into the pot, and then you put the hot water in it, and then even the act of waiting for the hot water to boil and reminding yourself that no matter what you do, you can't make the water boil any faster.
Sure.
You're just gonna have to wait, so it practices your patience. And then using that to brew, and then, you know, you have to be there to make sure you don't overbrew your tea, that you're brewing each tea at the temperature that they need to be at the time frame it needs to be at. And all of that is a lot of mindfulness practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you get such an immediate gratitude of it because you get to drink this tea a minute later or 2 minutes later. And it becomes even more so of that when you get to share it with some friends and you get to have that time together where you're just chatting and you're enjoying the tea together. And I think that in itself is really helpful when it comes to your mental health.
All right, what about things like shagum mushroom tea? Have you heard of that?
I have never drank it though, so
I don't know much of it.
Have you? Maybe you can tell me a little bit about it.
Okay, they say it's good for your immune system, so I mean, teas have many
mm-hmm.
qualities that could be good for different types of ailments or whatever, whatever you're going through, right? So anyways, there you have it, National Tea Month, Karina Fong from the Cafe Unit at Progress Place.
You are listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca in Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. We're discussing tea and mental health, as well as the holidays. Thank you, Iliada and Karina from RTNT, for the questions and insights on the origins, benefits, and traditions of tea drinking. According to a Tea Council of the USA press release, some other benefits of tea are: tea is a healthy, virtually caffeine-free, sugar-free, fat-free beverage. Studies have shown that tea may improve mental clarity. Tea could aid in the protection from several types of cancers. Drinking tea may support the immune system because of its theanine content. And drinking tea can also support cardiovascular health. With all those benefits, why not give it a try? Next, we'll hear from some of our friends at Progress Place who were nice enough to be interviewed about the holidays.
Do you like to attend around the holidays?
You know, the Christmas parties and stuff. It's fun to be around here with my friends and, you know, all celebrate together and have a good meal and stuff.
I'm just looking forward to visiting my grandmother.
I like to go ice skating, going window shopping, as well as having a nice hot chocolate with my son.
Well, I could put a plug in for the Christmas banquet here at Progress Place.
Not events, really, but I wouldn't mind maybe going to a movie or two this season. It looks like there's some pretty good ones coming out at Christmas time, and I know that's a popular thing that people do.
What kind of food or drink do you like during the holidays?
I want to eat a sandwich, a ham sandwich with sausage and egg.
Well, I definitely like my pop. You know, I usually have a lot of that for Christmas, and usually I eat a lot of, like, nuts and dates.
Definitely got to go with hot cocoa on that one.
I like eggnog and I like turkey.
Oh, I love eggnog.
Oh, I especially like warm apple cider with a cinnamon stick in it. That's my favorite hot drink during the holidays. And more likely to have something like Ferrero Rocher chocolates or stuffing on Christmas Day.
Everything, but of course turkey and stuffing is my favorite food, and I'm a big eggnog fan. I don't know what's in it, but it sure is tasty.
Do you have a favorite holiday movie?
It's gonna sound cheesy, but my favorite holiday movie is definitely Elf.
Thinking maybe The Grinch?
Not really, so I'm gonna say Die Hard.
I want to watch the new movie being featured on cable, which is The Christmas Chronicles and Christmas Carol.
I would say the Christmas story of the one where the kid wants the Red Ryder BB gun.
You know what? I do. I don't know why it's considered like a holiday movie, but every year at Christmas time, they show The Sound of Music on TV, and it's pretty fun if you like songs.
What songs do you like, or what songs can't you stand during the holidays?
I like Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano, and my choir just did it the other day in a concert.
I can't really stand any Christmas music.
Jingle Bell Rock.
I think my favorite Christmas song is probably Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Frosty. But I don't like Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I love O Come All Ye Faithful. I love the one Go Silent Night and Jingle Bell Rock.
How do you like to keep yourself warm in the cold months?
Well, I do like to have a nice fire in the fireplace, sit down with some hot cocoa, and just, you know, wrap a blanket around me, anything like that.
Oh, I have shawls and blankets if I'm not warm enough, although usually my apartment's on the warmer side of normal.
Layers. It's all about wearing layers in the cold weather here in Toronto.
Sleep under 3 blankets during the night, and then wear my favorite Christmas socks by Santa.
With a toque, a sweater, a scarf, and really warm gloves, and an awesome pair of boots.
Oh, I just wear lots of layers. I think that would do it. If you celebrate Christmas, what would you like for Christmas?
I would love to receive a new recorder playing instrument.
I need mostly
crochet and crafting items and place and maybe a shelf to store all the yarn that I bought?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. I don't have anything specific I want this year, just peace and love and to get along well with others.
I would just like, not gifts, but just peace in the world.
I would love to get somebody buy me a set I could shave better.
I would like to just have the people around me. That's enough for Christmas.
Do you have any favorite decorations?
It's going to sound cliche, but I got to go with the tree.
Well, when I was growing up, this elf, there was like 19 from 1940s.
I want to have Christmas angel this Christmas.
Oh, I like garland and tinsel.
Snowflakes. And also I like the bulbs.
What do you do to take care of your mental health during the holidays?
I'll just eat my favorite rice, which is the Java rice, and eat salmon, which is my favorite fish.
Boy, that's a good question. Sometimes I do get sad around the holidays a little bit, so I just try to focus on the positive things that are going on in my life right now and just not let the negative things bring me down.
Well, I guess I listen to music. I just, once the shopping's done, I can relax.
I try to stay around as many people as possible, just being very talkative on and keeping busy, trying not to focus on the seasonal disorder that I have. So what I try and do, I just basically do some fun things and think positive and just think of what I'm grateful for.
Well, I'm a big music lover. Then I also have my family, and I have to put in a bucket for Rogers Place because they're open 365 days a year.
Welcome back to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CGRU 1280 AM and CGRU.ca. We just listened to short interviews that we call Vox Pops regarding the holidays from members of Progress Place. If you're looking for a community to be a part of your mental health wellness, please visit a clubhouse near you. Clubhouse International reaches over 100,000 people living with mental illness per year in 320-plus clubhouses in 34 countries. Please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find a clubhouse in your community. We would like to thank all those involved with this episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto. A special thank you to our Vox Pops interviewers, Tara, Dan, and Julie. As well, thank you to all the members and staff of Progress Place who work hard each month to create a recurring episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto. Thank you to our listeners. Please share this episode with your friends and family. Together, we can dissolve from mental health stigmas to a continued focus on mental health wellness. To learn more about RTNT or listen to previous episodes, please check out RadioTotallyNormalToronto.org or find us on SoundCloud. If you'd like to learn more about Progress Place, visit progressplace.org. You can also track Progress Place on social media. Our handle is at Progress Place Clubhouse for Facebook and Instagram. For Twitter, our handle is at progress_place. Once again, thank you for joining us and have an amazing afternoon. We take you out with a hip-hop duo, originally from Kitimat Village, British Columbia, now based in Vancouver, Snotty Nose Rez Kids, with a track they released in 2018 called The Warriors.